This is the final boarding call for passengers on board Confessions of an Airline Employee. Passengers should be boarded at this time. Doors close in less than 1 minute.
Hello, everyone, and welcome aboard Confessions of an Airline Employee. Make sure your carry item is stowed away and your seatbelts are securely fastened. Sit back, settle in, and enjoy this podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Confessions of an Airline Employee. I'm Manny, and I'm your host. And tonight, I'll be introducing you guys to my co-host, Mr. Quebec. Welcome back to another episode.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So tonight, Quebec and I will be talking about my social media and different various how it was before. Prior to social media influence to how it is right now. And we're going to be talking about the repercussions of social media and how does it play a role within our roles within the airline industry and how we deal with it on a daily basis. So tonight we have a special guest, Mr. Echo. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here.
It was my pleasure, and me and Quebec's, thanks for taking our invitation to come in into the show and, giving us some stories. So first things first, how long have you been working for the airline industry?
It's been about 5 years now.
Okay. So what do you do within the airline industry?
I am a supervisor.
Okay. So I'm sure you get a lot of taking pictures, and you get a lot of the you're the one that will be on the social media pages because you said no to someone, right?
Yes, of course. You know, passengers don't like to hear the word no, and unfortunately, we have to say no. You know.
No, of course, of course. I mean.
I have been on social media many a times, and I'm sure there's going to be more times as well.
Yeah, of course. Because of the social media presence that there is now, I think all of us will be on the social media platforms at one point. We'll be on our airline's Twitter account, Facebook.
Yes. Page. Yep.
Quebec, have you been on the Instagram pages or Facebook, Twitter of your airline before?
I have been on Twitter. It wasn't for a negative reason, thank goodness, but there was an incident where a passenger was recording me, and fortunately for me, it's never come back to me. The situation was negative. Of course, it wasn't my fault. You know, passenger had missed their flight, and there was nothing I can do. And the first thing that they did was pull out their phone. You know, that's their first line of defense,
right?
So, but yeah. I've been on Twitter once before, a positive reason. Thank goodness.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah. See, so sometimes social media could be good. It's good free PR for the airline that you work for and for yourself.
Yeah.
So you know, like. You know, sometimes people post negative things about people because they didn't get what they wanted. So they'll put, you know, or say negative stuff about that agent. So, but yep. On your side, it was a good thing. It was a good comment. So that's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. So how has social media kind of, as we know how it is today, and it's grown so much, and it's how popular it is, and everybody uses that platform to, you know, spread the word towards a lot of millions of people. How, since you started working Quebec, how has it been? Has it changed within time?
Well, like I said, within the last couple of episodes, I've only been with the airline industry 3 years, and I would say that social media has remained prominent throughout my career there. It's It's interesting to see how social media plays with the airline industry, how it goes back and forth. You know, right. Not only with passengers, you know, we have to watch what we say with them, or, you know, we always have to be aware of our surroundings if we're being recorded, or, you know, we always have to, I always say we always have to prepare to be on a stage, you know, like if right. we're, it's an act sometimes. But right. not only with that, it's just that us as employees, we have to watch out for ourselves as well, because our social media is being monitored by people who may know that we work in the airline industry. So anything that we say can be held against us. And, you know, let's say you put out an angry tweet or, you know, an angry Facebook post, and it comes back to HR, they find out about it, you could lose your job. You know, it's a very serious matter, and it's a sensitive matter because it can go in any direction, whether it's good or bad.
Right, in the sense, and you have a good point, especially like right now, there's a lot of, you know, everything that's going on with different types of movements and stuff like that. And then, yes. like, and, you know, they act the fool in the streets, and then they do, you know, they do some racial remarks, I said, for example. And, you know, people will find out who you are. And yes. then they go to, and then the way they get identified is by their social media accounts. So they go like, okay, well, that lady works for this firm, or this guy works for this place. And then they reach out to that employer.
Yeah.
And yeah. It makes, you know, and that's how they get, you know, their jobs are in jeopardy. What about you, Echo? Since I know you've been with the company for a little bit longer. You've been working with the airline industry for a little bit of longer time. Since you started working for the airline industry, how has that changed for the social media? How big was it when you started to how it is now?
Well, when I first started, I was just an agent. So whenever I would tell a passenger no, they would ask for someone higher than me. And now that I'm a supervisor, I'm the second person to be called over. And they don't like to be told no. I've been put on Facebook. I've been put on Twitter. I've been put on Instagram, you know. You know, we always have to be ready for the camera to come out and them to take a picture or a video.
Right. And then that was more so when you started, or is it more now? Like how
more now, because, you know, everyone sees the news, like, all this happened with this airline. Right. And, you know, someone, you know, drag someone off the plane and they filmed it. Now everyone wants to be able to film everything yes. and get popular on social media. And then they file a lawsuit and act crazy and ridiculous. And they think when they jump up and down and yep. run and throw things that we're going to give in, but I'm sorry, unfortunately we're not.
Yes.
Right. And I don't know if both of you gentlemen will agree. Do you guys feel like sometimes they record based not the whole scenario, but just the part that they want to put out?
Absolutely. To
people. Yes, I do. Like, right. they record the whole thing and then they will edit it.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, like it seems like they'll just create, like, okay, so they record a piece and then they'll just add the part that makes the airline look bad, and, you know,
yes.
put it out in the world, and then, you know, sometimes it goes viral and then you end up on ABC News.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the thing. Like what Echo was saying, it's like social media is one of the things where whatever you put out, it's what you want people to see. So mm-hmm. if someone puts out something negative, they want people to see that. You know, if it's something good, if something good happened to you, let's say even with any company, like a grocery store or something, and like a lot of companies are on social media now. So they're all seeing that. And so.
And everybody likes drama.
They do.
That's true.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
People are drawn to it, actually. Like, if you for that kind of leads perfectly into this. Like Instagram page that is called Passenger Shaming. So, and it's not only like airline enthusiasts or employees that go on this page. It's just everybody, even passengers. You know, they go. They have like, I think, I don't know how many million followers, and I don't know if you gentlemen are familiar with that page.
I am.
I am. I went to, I check out the page every now and then just to get a good laugh.
Yeah.
Because you see pictures of a toddler taking crowns to the windowsill and, you know, the tray and their food is everywhere.
Right.
There's diapers in the back seat.
You have passengers putting their feet on seats or putting their feet by people. You know, just a lot.
Or their hair is over top of your TV screen.
Yes. There, it's a lot. There's so much on there.
Or there's dog shit. From their emotional support animal.
Yes.
Right. And then there's like, I know there was a horse one time. Like a
rooster, I think.
Oh my God! There's been people have tried to bring spiders on board. It's crazy.
Yeah, so it's like people, you know. So there's Instagram accounts like that. It's the like passenger shaming, and it's you know, sometimes like for me, I get a laugh at it. I really don't take things very offensive much.
I don't either.
But some people could get upset about it, you know. Like, but yeah, I have gone onto the Instagram page, and then you see like people like touch the screen with their foot, or you know, like
they get mad about it because they know they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you know, and these pages like that, like they put them on blast and. You know, like that's where they go crazy and go upset.
So. Yeah, that's for any of our listeners. You know, if you do something crazy in an airport or you do something that's out of the norm of traveling, you might be on this page. You never know.
Yeah, someone might be recording you.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah, because I remember when I started, this was about 8 years ago. Social media was already around, but it wasn't as big. It wasn't huge how it is now. Like a lot of people go onto the social media pages or they go on Yelp and see certain reviews and you kind of follow that and you kind of listen to them. Like for example, like when I go out to eat or and I know that area, I'll Yelp, you know, restaurants in that area, and then I'll go based on their reviews on social online.
Yeah.
So it's a big thing now.
It's
changed over the years. So, and then, you know, there's obviously repercussions of being on social media and working for the airline industry. Like Quebec was saying, like, if you do something that, even if it's not with your uniform on or you do something on the street, somebody posts it, they find out who you work for, and you know there's repercussions for that.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Yeah, like Quebec said, we're always on a stage the moment you clock in.
Every time.
Walk out those doors.
Yeah.
All eyes are on you.
Exactly.
All the, you know, when the passengers are in line, all they have to do is just look at the counter and look at us, watch what we're doing.
Yeah,
we're on our phones, if we're not paying attention to them, been rude.
Right, and it's funny that you say that, Echo, because I remember one time there was someone posted a picture of the counter, right? And and they were saying, oh, there's only like three agents in the counter. So, you know, the counters are usually pretty long, so obviously, they only took a picture of one side that they wanted to show.
Yes,
where there were only the three agents in those computers.
Yes,
but would have taken the picture from the left hand side, they would have seen 15 other people. So, and then the crazy thing about that is that, like, my boss, he came out and told me, "Hey, I saw this on Twitter. What was going on? What happened?" So, and it's not something that they'll act, like instantly see, but they'll tell you on later on that day, like, "Hey, what happened during this time?" And they'll ask you about it, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you're out on the floor more, you would notice.
Exactly, Mr. Echo.
Oh my goodness. We gotta save that for another episode.
See, me and Nick are like Batman and Robin. We rode together, so
exactly.
Oh, so if we're there, we'll be together. So do you guys have any? Let's start with Echo. Any crazy stories with passengers that you've been on social media about?
I remember there was one time I was at the gate at the gates, and we closed the door to the aircraft 10 minutes before.
Yeah.
And it states the contract that you sign whenever you hit submit to check out online that you sign a contract.
Yes.
That you'll be through the gate 15 minutes before departure.
Yes.
Well, 10 minutes before we close the door, we come back up, and here's about two or three passengers, and they were at Starbucks getting their coffees or teas and their sandwiches. And they're like, the plane's sitting there. I was like, well, I'm sorry. The plane door is closed. The jet bridge door is closed. And the jet bridge has been pulled back. So unfortunately, you have to get rebooked. And they threw a fit, started taking pictures, and said, this is ridiculous. I'll never fly your airline again. I was like, okay, thank you. Go to the service center to get rebooked on the next flight.
Were you on Twitter or Instagram that you found out?
I was on Twitter, yes.
Really? With that, for that same incident or a different one?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I've been on Twitter before. I've been on Yelp before and Facebook.
I don't. Oh my God. How do you get put on Yelp? That's my thing.
Well, one of my coworkers sent me a picture and said, "Look, you're on Yelp, Echo."
For what was the bad review for?
Not good customer service. You know, they missed their flight even though the plane was still there and could put the jet bridge back up.
Oh, so it was the same folks that, wow. So they really took it to every platform, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, you got some of those people that they will take it to the next level and they will keep on going until they get the answers they want to hear. And unfortunately, that's not always the case.
Yeah, right. And then I reported the picture because they took a picture of me on Yelp and said they took this without my permission, and they took it down the next day.
Wow.
Don't mess with Echo.
That's right.
My goodness.
Well, no, I'm telling you, that's the fun part about working for an airline is that, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's recording you.
It never
and where
ends.
You're going to end up. You don't know where you're going to end up. You're gonna
it's
end up
never a dull moment.
Never.
What about you, Mr. Quebec? Any stories?
Well, I wasn't put on social media, but this one morning I was helping out a party of three. They were connecting from Australia, and they were connecting somewhere in the Midwest. I forgot what city. And you know, they came to me to the counter. Their flight from Australia came late, so they missed their connection. And the airline that they had come in on, they had booked them on a flight for hours later. It was ridiculous. Mind you, again, it was them who rebooked them, the other airline. It was not me. So
right.
I looked up the reservation and saw what was going on, and you know, it was a mess because we didn't have any room on any earlier flights. And the only option was to go standby, and they didn't want that. They wanted to get home earlier. And I said, unfortunately, I can't do that. You know, the other airline, they messed up your tickets. They put you on a flight later, like way later. It was ridiculous. Even I was like, why would they do such a thing? And long story short, I was helping them for maybe like an hour and a half. And throughout the whole process of me telling them that there's nothing I could do, one of the people in the party, she was pulling out her phone and recording me saying that I wasn't able to help them. Well, of course I wasn't able to help them. You want me to give you seats that we don't have? That's people don't understand. It's like, That's how it works. And unfortunately, the other airline was the one who messed you up. It wasn't us. I'm over here trying to help you. But We had to get a supervisor. Supervisor came. She managed to get them to stop recording, thank goodness. And they finally calmed down, took the standby option, and they left. And I believe they did end up getting on the earlier flight by luck, you know.
Wow. Right. Yeah, and then there's some things that, we can't guarantee, you know. Like, sometimes you are going to have to take the gamble, like during the summer months when flights are full and you miss your flight. You
oversold. Show
up, right, flights are oversold. Yes. Sometimes, yeah, you know, like we'll try our best, but sometimes you will have to go on standby, and it's not guaranteed that you'll make those flights.
Yeah, so, standby, you know, is a whole nother ballpark, you guys. It is.
Yeah.
Cutthroat.
Yes.
Airline employees know yes. how that works.
Yeah, especially during summer months, not fun.
No.
That's why you don't travel during the summer.
Right. Yeah. So that's why, like, you know, people have to also understand that, like, if you, you know, try to record someone because, you know, they don't want to put you on an earlier flight. And sometimes it's not because we don't want to, it's because flights are full and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, your situation, like, you couldn't, and you did the best you attempted to do everything you to assist them, but it didn't, you know, sometimes you can't please them. Like, you, they want you to do something and you literally can't because it's not available.
Yep.
And, you know, so then they'll get upset and turn around and tell you that you had bad customer service. And then you end up on Twitter, on Facebook. And, you know, sometimes it's not fair, you know, because you did try and you really did try to help them. And you still end up on the negative side on social media. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you can't win.
Very, very true. And I love taking photos.
I remember a story with Echo, but I don't know if he wants to share it. You know what?
I think I know that story. I know another one, though. Let me tell this one first, and I'll tell the other one.
All right, sounds good. Go ahead.
The first story is a passenger wasn't happy with my answer, you know.
Per usual.
And, yes, like always, because they don't like to be told no. So I told the passenger no about 3 or 4 times, and the passenger took a picture of me. And so I got out my phone and took a photo of him and said, I did the same thing you just did to me. Took a photo of you. How did you like that?
See that,
and the story that the second story is, two passengers missed their flight because they showed up 30 minutes before and they missed the bag cutoff and they missed the check-in time. So that was about 9 o'clock in the morning, around Christmas time, about 2 or 3 days before, which everyone should know it's busy and it's at busy airport. Yeah, thank you.
I thought that was a surprise. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
And so the flight was like at 9:45 a.m. and the next flight was like at 1:45 p.m. And they weren't happy with that. They wanted to get there earlier. And so I said, unfortunately, I can't get you there earlier. And they said, I ruined their entire day. They started cursing at me. Then I, you know, I finished the situation, finished the transaction, got them on their way, and then they weren't happy. So they started following me. They followed me around the airport to 2 or 3 different locations, taking photos of me. And then eventually I had to just walk away into one of the offices. And then eventually I ended up on Twitter.
Right.
And it wasn't maybe about 30 minutes later, the upper management came out and said, what happened? And it was blasted all over Twitter.
Yeah. I remember that instance very, that situation very clearly.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was.
Everyone got a kick out of it.
That is terrible.
Yeah, because
a bunch of creeps.
It's like, you know, we always try to stick together and try to help each other out. I think in that situation, I think 3 or 4 of us got involved. Right, Echo?
I believe so. There was about 3 other supervisors.
Yeah,
including you.
Yeah, they had to get involved. Because they just were very, one of them was very irate and just kept following Echo. And Echo would be like, okay, I'm already done. Someone's already taken over. and you know, just kept following him. They didn't leave him alone. You know, and it's stuff like that that it's kind of like for him, like I, you know, like he, like to be in that position, like he knows we're going to always, obviously we're going to back him up, but it's uncomfortable also, yes. Like just having like, cause other people are also watching, like they don't know what the story is, but just because you are
in the wrong
representing, yeah. Because you're representing the airline, you're always automatically going to be in the wrong side of the seat. You're always going to be on the wrong side of that counter. So,
of course.
And then, you know, other passengers don't know the story. They just know that that person is telling them no. So they're going to, you know, they feel offended for him also, for the other passenger, and they stick together. So,
of course,
you know,
and it's kind of like when you're driving down the freeway and you see someone pulled over, everyone slows down to look.
Right,
and,
right.
They, and then they think that person's bad.
Which,
right,
like, or if there's a car, you know, there's a bumper, you know, everyone, like three person yes. pile up.
Right.
Like, oh my God, look at these crazy people that just hit each other. And of course, it slows traffic down.
Right.
And the business it brings me back to the point as we're always on stage. You know, everyone is watching.
Everybody, well, not everybody. Maybe it is everybody. We like drama. Yeah.
It's human nature.
Yeah. We can't help it.
Yeah.
We're curious creatures.
Right. And that's why there's so many web pages and so many accounts that, like World Star, that it's literally all about fights and you know, in different altercations. Like, I remember, like, a couple years ago that There was a couple in line. They were waiting. They were waiting to get rebooked, and they were bickering because they had missed their flight. So one of them just literally kicks the bag, like their carry-on bag, to the counter, and then just turns around and punches the other. And you know, the cops got involved. People were recording.
Oh my God!
You know, so yeah, I had to step in and kind of move both of them, and it was a weird situation. Like, I had never seen a fight like at the counter breakout, you know, and that was one of my first experiences, and it was kind of interesting because, you know, at the end of the day, like one of them went to jail.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
they deserved it.
Yeah, and you know how you already know that, like, when someone gets pulled over, like for that instance, there was like the police was in, you know, they separated both of them and they were taking each other's each other's stories and see if they match. And then the witnesses, we were all being spoken to. And of course, just how you guys say, when there's a pileup, there's people watching. Yes. So say people are checking in and they're literally watching the cops and everything go down. So it's kind of funny, and the people are out with their phones, and you know, and then if you guys have ever seen the police in the airport, they don't, not only two come, there's about 8 to 10.
Yes.
And, you know, they roll deep.
They'll come in on bikes, you guys. They will be there. I've seen it happen. Yeah,
it does.
They come from the backside, bikes, you know, they get the canine.
The dogs will be there sniffing bags. It's just a mess. Everyone's involved.
Especially from one of the world's busiest airports.
Exactly. Oh, man. So, yeah, that's it's crazy stories, crazy stuff that happens real life within the airline industry. So, but again, sure, never a dull moment.
Never. Right?
Never at our airport.
So, Echo, since you're one of our special guests tonight, you know, we always ask our guests this question. You have to let us know what are your travel tips? Where have you been that you've loved going, and recommend to our listeners?
Well, one of my most favorite cities I've ever been to is Paris. And, you know, I love Paris because the food is amazing. They have good wine and champagne, and the architecture and the people. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, whenever you say, oh, you should visit France, they was like, all the people are rude.
Right.
Well, I have so many friends there, and they've always been so humble to me and so caring and very welcoming to me that I've been there 9 times now.
Wow.
Since I've worked for the airline. You know, I've been to Paris, France before I worked for the airline, but since I've worked for the airline, I've been 9 times. And I always have a blast when I go. I feel very welcomed. I feel like home when I'm there with my friends. And the architecture is absolutely beautiful. The places that you can just, stop by different cafes and have wine and croissants and the pastries and the food. It's absolutely amazing. That's one of my most favorite cities I've ever been to so far. And I've been quite a few places.
Yeah, it's just like Quebec. Quebec's a big Paris.
Love Paris. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to go back. Whenever France decides to let us American citizens in, I will be there in Paris under the Eiffel Tower somewhere, probably with a face mask on, but it doesn't matter.
We'll make sure it's a Louis Vuitton face mask.
Only the best for Paris.
Of course, or Chanel, or Karl Lagerfeld,
Bring it on.
So Echo, so what are things that you've done in Paris that you recommend going to for someone that's never been?
If you're going to Paris, you definitely have to go see the Louvre. But you'll probably need at least 2 days to look at, to almost see everything. You probably won't even be able to see everything in 2 days, but it's just all the history and the paintings and the sculptures and the furniture and the tapestries is just phenomenal. And then you see the jewelry that the royalty wore back in the 1700s before the revolution happened. The Eiffel Tower is absolutely beautiful. The Arc de Triomphe is beautiful. And there's also the Palace of Versailles, which is about a 45-minute train ride from Notre Dame. Notre Dame is, by the way, Notre Dame is absolutely beautiful. I've been there a couple times, been inside, been on the very top of the Notre Dame. But if you take the train, it's about 45 minutes. It was a palace built by Louis the 14th in the 1700s. It's, the architecture is absolutely beautiful. The gilt of gold and the furniture and it's just the gardens. And, I recommend if you go in the summertime or the spring when it gets warmer, rent a golf cart at the Palace of Versailles in the gardens. And you can go from the Palace of Versailles to Marie Antoinette's little cottage. You can go to the Petit Trianon, and then you can go to the Grand Trianon and the fountains and the, it's all the gardens is absolutely beautiful.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty good. I've only been to Paris once and, it was never before. I wasn't a huge fan, but then I went, people were very nice, very welcoming, and the food was amazing. I'm usually not like a coffee and pastries type of person, but oh my God, the coffee was amazing. I didn't even, it was great. Yes. Early morning. I would literally get out of the Airbnb and then just go with my wife to a little cafe, and then 5-6 in the morning when they were opening up, and the bread was fresh and it was amazing. So
yeah.
It was good times. What about you, Quebec? Any other destination?
The last two episodes, I've talked about international destinations. I must take it back home to domestic. Domestic travel is important as well. And the first place I went to when I started with the airline, it was Seattle. And Seattle, it's one of those cities where I've wanted to visit because it's beautiful. And when I first went, I went in October.
Right.
Literally a week after I started, because when I first got hired, we were under the impression that our flight privileges wouldn't start until after our probation. But our first day, our trainer told us, he said, no, your flight benefits are active starting today. And I was the first person in my training class to go on a trip. I was a guinea pig. So my training class was Monday through Friday. And on that Saturday, I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Seattle because I've never been. I've always wanted to go. And when I went, it was just so beautiful. It's, you know, all of the trees, the nature, it's the water, Puget Sound, everything is just so beautiful up there. The air is clear. You know, they get a lot of rain. I don't really mind rain. Some people do, some people don't. But Seattle is one of those places where I just instantly, you know, loved the vibe, the atmosphere, the coffee shops. You know, people are very, they're friendly up there. Things are different, the way they're dressed, the way they act, the way this man is.
It's a chill vibe up there.
Did you go to the Pike Market? To Pike's Market, saw that, saw the first Starbucks, saw the Space Needle, and I did it all in a one-day trip. And I...
Did you go up?
Not that trip. Not the first time, but... One other trip. I went with my friend and we went up the Space Needle, and I'm deathly afraid of heights, so that was interesting. But
you, yes, get on the plane.
Yes, I get on the plane. There's a difference. There's a difference, but it's okay. You know, not too many people understand. Absolutely. But
35,000 feet in the air, or maybe 1,500 feet in the air.
Again, there's a difference. But Seattle is one of my favorite domestic traveling places to travel to. And it's one of those places where I can go to and I clear my mind, even if it's just for like 8 hours. I can go up there, walk around, be in the city, see the fish market, see Starbucks, see the Space Needle, see the trees, go on a bike ride, go to Queen Anne and walk around, see the parks, and just come home and I feel so refreshed.
Right. Oh, it's the nature is beautiful, gorgeous. So green, so many trees.
Especially in fall. Fall, October, when those leaves. Yeah, oh my goodness. Trees. Gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, no, Seattle's an amazing place. It's literally when you step out of the airport, you can already smell the fresh air that that we don't normally breathe.
Because we breathe in smog.
That's what happens when you live in a big city, right?
Unfortunately.
Right? Yeah, no, I think one of my favorite destinations that I remember I took my wife for her birthday to Mexico City. I had never been, and you know, I've been to Mexico a few times, but I've never been to Mexico City because it always has this negative stigma within Mexico that is dangerous and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so, everywhere dangerous.
Right. So I was always so terrified and so nervous to go to Mexico City. So my wife is like, oh, I've been there so many times. Like, I want to go for my birthday. Let's go. So we did. So we ended up going and had a blast. Went to like the ruins. And then we checked out a few like street markets and the Angel, the Mexico City Angel. And there's a lot of really cool contemporary museums. And has so much culture and history. The architecture around the city is amazing. Like, there's one side of the city that is like very modern, and then you step to the other side is like the old city, and it's pretty cool. And then that's the beauty about traveling, is that, you know, you get to step into the past. When you go to these historic cities.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's always, you know, fun traveling because of that. So yeah. And yeah, you know, there's a lot of places that I would love to visit. Echo, what's one of the locations or another place that you haven't been that you've always wanted to go?
I've always wanted to go to Russia.
Really?
Yes, I've always wanted to go there. I've asked a few of my friends, but they're nervous to go. And I said I would even pay for their trip to go, but they still said no. But the history in Russia, you know, is phenomenal. Like Peter the Great, he built St. Petersburg. And then you got Moscow. And then you have all these different reigns of different monarchs that had ruled over Russia to make it greater and better. And the architecture looks phenomenal, you know, absolutely beautiful. You know, the food looks interesting over there. You know, I know it's, you know, the palaces that they have over there that, you know, there's one palace over there, the Winter Palace, that they would have these balls and 10,000 people could be in the ballroom and standing. And then it would be like 30 below zero outside, but there'd be exotic plants growing in the palace and in the inside gardens or the, you know, she's a place that I've always wanted to go that I haven't went yet. And, you know, the rule of the Romanovs, you know, and then the 1917 tragedy that, or 1918 actually, that they killed the imperial family of Russia, the emperor, the empress, and killed their five goodness. Children. And, you know, where they were killed, they built a church in honor of them. Yeah. And, you know, they buried them in a forest, and they didn't find them till like 85 years later. And like the history and like, you know, this is Anastasia, you know, it's just so much history in that country. And, you know, so many people are afraid to go there, but you know, we take a risk of going anywhere in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
Any country, any city, anytime we go to the grocery store, we take a risk.
Yeah.
Anytime we get in a car. So, we should never be afraid to go anywhere because we'll learn a new language. Like even if you only learn like 10 or 15 different words, you know, hello, how are you? And das svidaniya. You know, it's a place that I really want to go in the next year or two.
Oh, that's awesome. And you could bring us some Russian vodka.
I could, yes, the vodka or those little dolls that were you like, there's like so many of them.
I forgot the name of it, what they're called, like but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, like they have like so many different little Russian dolls in there.
Yeah, the stackable ones almost.
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. But I just want to see the Neva River and the cathedrals and the architecture and the people. You know, I actually have several people on Instagram from Russia, and that, you know, most people think of Russia and they're like, oh, they're mean, they're cold hearted. Right. But, you know, I've become very close with my friends on Instagram. I know I've never met them in person, but I've been friends with them for 4 and 5, 6, 7 years. And we talk, I don't know, a couple times a month. We, you know, we chat and check on each other and everything. So it's nice, you know, we should never judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Until you've read the book or you've actually been there.
Right.
So and that's the next international destination that I would like to go in 2021. That's my goal, was to be, to visit Russia.
That's awesome. That's great. That sounds, sounds very interesting. And it seems like you have a lot of knowledge within the history of the country, and you definitely will enjoy and embrace the culture once you arrive. So that's pretty awesome.
No, for sure.
What about you, Quebec?
So, before the whole coronavirus struck the planet, this year I wanted to focus on Asia. I've never been to Asia. I've only been to Europe. And a city that I've always wanted to go to since I was younger is Hong Kong. I used to watch documentaries when I was younger with architecture and skyscrapers, and one of the cities that was always repeated in each of these documentaries was Hong Kong, and just seeing the skyline, the buildings, the people, the transportation, it's just such a modern mecca. And I grew up watching so many things about Hong Kong, about you know, all the shops and Kowloon Bay and Victoria Peak. And, you know, there's just a lot to do in Hong Kong. And it's really interesting about how it was a British colony, and then they gave it up. And mm-hmm. yeah, 19, in the 90s, I believe, right? It's 1997. They gave up the rule, and Hong Kong's is independent by now until China takes it over, and within the next 30 years or so. And, you know, I was looking at a documentary about how there's so much British influence within Hong Kong, the street names, double-decker buses, it's a lot. So Hong Kong is a place that I really would like to spend time in, to just wander along the streets, take a ferry ride, see Victoria Peak, and to just really capture all of that influence from the past and with all that modern flair that they have. It's a really cool city.
That's definitely a destination that catches my attention also. And then same with me, I wanted to travel to Asia this year, and I've never been to Japan, and that's one of the destinations I've really been wanting to go to for a long time now.
Thanks, Corona.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I was supposed to be, you know, on vacation too this year, but yep. You know, thanks, COVID.
Well, you're at a staycation now.
Let's just say I've been at a staycation with lots of wine and champagne.
But hey, that's another way to enjoy the staycation, so
I guess, but I've gained 10 pounds.
Yeah, that's part of the transition within this virus, I guess.
I guess it needs to go away.
Yeah, and it will.
I'm sorry.
I was saying something needs to happen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know it will. And I mean, things will get better and countries will start opening up once we see those numbers go down. And
yeah, well, the United States is at what, 2 million now?
Yeah, 2 million. So it's sad, and then that's the reason why they don't want to let us into other countries. Like, other countries are opening up, but they're not letting Americans in.
So I wonder why.
I honestly saw that coming. Yeah, we have the most
cases, but yeah, my right.
I'm glad you think that.
But like you said, eventually things will get better. Countries will open up, cases will go down, and we will be back on these planes. So,
oh, definitely,
and we'll board a plane to Russia,
right? Yeah, definitely. Moscow. You'll be in Russia. Yes. Quebec will be in, and yeah, he'll be in Moscow,
St. Petersburg.
Quebec will be in Hong Kong, and then hopefully I'll get to go to Japan and visit all these beautiful gardens and Tokyo Disney. Because that's and I heard about like these little robot cafes.
Or we could all of us could fly together from the United States to Japan, then Japan to Hong Kong, then Hong Kong to Russia.
I think we should. We should do a reverse quarantine where we spent 2 months at home, but now we spend 2 months out in the world. Totally down for that. I will be waiting for your credit card, Echo.
Both. Oh, okay. AMX or Visa?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, man, you guys are funny. Well, our episode comes to an end. Thank you both for joining us again. Echo,
thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And hopefully you can join us again in the near future.
Yes.
I'm definitely
stay
down
tuned for another petty episode of Confessions of an Airline Employee.
All right, folks, everybody. Okay. Hope you guys enjoy the episode. And thanks for tuning in to another episode, guys. Thank you. Everybody have a wonderful night.
Good night.
You too. Take care, gentlemen. Bye-bye.